Well, James chapter 4 in your Bibles this morning. That wonderful little book of James chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James gives us insight from God about facing the future and three common errors which are common and they are absolutely critical in our life. So first of all, error number one is planning without God. In verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue thou a year and buy and sell and get gain. And we read that and we say, what's wrong with that? We make plans every day. We are like the one in verse 13. We know when we are going, today or tomorrow. We know where we are going, such a city, how long we're going to stay. We're going to spend a year. And what are we going to do? We're going to carry on business. Why are we going to do that? So we can make some money. And we look at that and we say, what's wrong with that? The Bible does not condemn that whatsoever. The Bible doesn't condemn planning or making a profit. This guy has planned everything. The purpose, the place, the progress. He has all the bases covered except one critical detail. Nowhere in his plan is God included. Planning without God is a critical, critical error. He knew what he wanted. He knew how to get there, but he didn't go to God. Jesus said, you need to plan. The writer of Proverbs said that time and again. What James is saying, avoid planning without including God. There is an attitude that is revealed there. It's an attitude of self-sufficiency. I don't need you, God. I've got it all planned. You can be a believer in Jesus Christ and forget God in your daily life. People like that are practical atheists. It is incredibly sad for someone to believe in God and then live as if he doesn't exist. If you believe in God, include him in your plans, in your hopes, in your dreams. I want you to hold your place in James, but go with me to Luke chapter 12 for a moment. Luke chapter 12. Here's a parable that basically says the same thing. Luke chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Count how many personal pronouns are in this portion. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God's not included in this at all. And this is what he says. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then he brings it contemporary with you and I. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's got it all planned, but he doesn't include God. Don't plan without God, because, ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely presumptuous sin. So what's the solution? It's pretty obvious. Include God in your plans. Now back to James chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You've heard this many, many times. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. And that's the truth. Murphy's Law is still in effect. If anything can go wrong, it will at the worst possible moment. So we ought to say, if the Lord wills. The first step to facing the future is, God, what do you want me to do? Or maybe even more important, what do you not want me to do? For hundreds of years, Christians would end letters that they would write to someone else with two letters, DV, at the very end. That was Latin for Deo Volente, which means Lord willing. God loves us, and he has a wonderful plan for our lives. When will we begin to investigate what that is? In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was miraculously saved, became the Apostle Paul. The first thing after he was saved, he asked God, God, what do you want me to do? So let me ask you, is God's will absolutely preeminent in your life? It should be. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 16. Oh, you're going to love this. This is wonderful. Proverbs chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every man that is proud is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. How wonderful is that? Second of all, error number two that needs to be avoided: presuming about tomorrow. Taking for granted our freedoms, what we have as a nation. And you understand that only 1% of Americans ever serve in the military, and they are the ones that keep 99% of us free. Thank God for them. Don't take them for granted. Now back to James chapter 4, and verse 14 says this: whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There are some reasons we shouldn't presume on tomorrow. First of all, because life is unpredictable. We have great hope and optimism, but we have no idea what will happen tomorrow. And that frightens us at times. What does that challenge me to do every day of my life? I should trust God and put Him first. Not only is life unpredictable, but life is short. Your life is as a mist that comes and goes in a hurry. At any time, we are only one heartbeat away from eternity. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. None of us do. So who are you going to trust with your life? Plans are good. They are either a statement of faith or arrogance. Depends on who you include. The solution to presuming about tomorrow is to live one day at a time. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 33 and 34. Matthew chapter 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he says this: take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then last of all, error number three is putting off doing. James chapter 4, look at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's break that down just a little bit. There is a word for this sin, and that is called procrastination. Just putting things off. Here's a little ditty. Procrastination is my sin. It only causes me sorrow. I know I should change my ways. In fact, I will. Tomorrow. But the old thought is, but tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow is today. We love to put things off. But James says it's a trap. It will close in on you and you will miss it. You won't get it done. I could ask you, how do you define sin? You say, oh, well, that's real easy. Adultery, murder, lying, stealing. Those are four of the big 10 that comes in the Ten Commandments. Those are sins of commission. There are also sins of omission, where you fail to do something. God says, live today doing the right things. If you know to do good, do it now. So what's the solution? Well, go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 27 and 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Do it now. Life is what you have now. You can spend it. You can waste it. You can invest it. Jim Elliot, who was killed by the Aka Indians, said this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. What's he talking about? What is going to last forever? God's word and people's souls will last forever. We need to make it count. It really doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. In life, we get concerned about the duration of life. God is concerned about the donation of our life. What did you do with your life? What was the donation that you gave with your life? In the parable of the talents, the guy that had one talent wasted that talent, and God was very hard on him. Take that away from him. Give it to this guy over here. He is a better use of that. You understand that one day we will stand before God and give an account of what we did with the most precious of gifts, and that is our life. Could I ask you a personal question this morning? What do you intend to do for the Lord? Do it now. Have you been thinking about witnessing to a friend? Do it now. Have you been thinking about quitting a harmful habit? Do it now. Have you been thinking about cleaning up your language? Do it now. Have you been thinking about getting more involved at church? Do it now. Have you been thinking about telling a family member that you love them? I beg of you, do it now. Let's close with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Have you been thinking about going to heaven? Here's what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you have been thinking about salvation, if you've been thinking about going to heaven, do it now. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how very thankful we are that you love us and that you're concerned about every area of our life, every corner of our life. You are concerned about that. And you want us to have you on our mind and ask for your help and ask for your direction. And dear Father, then give us the good sense and the grace to follow your leadership in our life. Father, help us to be obedient to thee in all things. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for saving our souls. Dear Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, I pray that they will take care of that now. That when we give the invitation in a couple of moments, that they will come forward and allow us to show them how to go to heaven. And then, dear Father, if we are saved and you bring someone to our mind, help us to be obedient to you and call that person or go over and see that person and talk to them about their soul. And dear Father, help each one of us always to be very grateful that we are saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. Father, please speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.